big ass ass. I get that ooh, ooh, baby.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast, entitled My Life. I am your host, Jasmar Jazz Bennett, mother, educator, host, and I am so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for listening and always subscribing and following and leaving those previews for me and those reviews. I absolutely love it and I appreciate it. We are live here in Titus Moy's studio and it is such a fantastic scene. So if you're listening on your podcast channel, head over to IG and you can check us out live because I posted this episode live. And so every episode airs every Monday. Every Monday where podcasts live, and now we're on IG. So all of my IG family, you need to come on over and check out the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. I want to say happy Mother's Day again to all of the mothers out there. You know, I hope you felt celebrated. I hope you felt loved. You know, our kids don't have the funds to get us anything. So dads, you know, Mother's Day is really on you until those kids can really, really, really do what they need to do. And I won't call anybody out, but, you know, I appreciate the card and the single rose that I got yesterday because my kids picked it out. And if they say they picked it out, then, hey, I'm elated and I'm ecstatic for that. I'm just waiting for them to write something in the card. You know, that's their, you know, mommy, let's go to the beach. Mommy, let's go to a hotel. That's their way to be able to do those things. So, you know, so I have a fantastic mother with me today. And for the entire month of May, I'm going to be celebrating incredible women who are mothers and who are dope moms. So I definitely want to go ahead and introduce my guest for episode 28. She's a mother. She's an author. She's a survivor of many things, and she's such an inspiration. I've known her ever since middle school. Middle school was when I met her, and I've kept up with her, you know, once she hit social media and we found each other again. And so I want to go ahead and welcome Miss Danya Parker Barber to the show.
That introduction was awesome.
Was it awesome? Look, I'm trying to come for Steve Harvey. Like, Steve Harvey, if you're listening, you know, take me under your tutelage and we can get this thing cracking. Because, you know, he likes to introduce everyone and he has, yeah, like, an amazing way to introduce. So I'm just, you know, trying to follow suit.
Well, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm good.
And very deserving to be here.
Thank you.
Very deserving. So, girl, talk to me about your, actually, how do you describe yourself, first and foremost? Like, when people ask you, who's Danya, what do you say?
That's a good question, because it seems like I got, like, a lot of hats right now.
Mm-hmm.
But just Danya.
Danya.
I'm a mother first and foremost. I fight lupus. I have for 16 years. April made 16 years, so I fight lupus. You know, I lost my son. You know, but I'm still Danya.
Yeah.
Still Danya. I have been broken. I don't think I'm that person no more.
Yeah.
So I'm just still Danya.
All right. And see, I remember first of all, we met in the Marching Wolverine band, listen, in Winter Haven, Florida. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to know anything about this band, the band director, the one who's over it, Mr. Earl.
Mr. Earl.
Mr. Earl. So Mr. Earl, he was a part of the Marching 100 and Florida A&M University's Marching 100 band. And so this particular band was like a community band that mimicked that particular style of that's the marching style that we had. So, you know, those 90 degree angles with the legs and, you know, we marched all over Winter Haven. Do you hear me? And this was a time when Cry No More was out, when UNV Something's Going On was out.
And we performed, we performed all of those things.
And so, actually, aside from my cousin Courtney, Danya, I think you were the first person that I met in the band. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember we went on a trip and we went on a charter bus, and we sat together. Yep. And that's how we met. She was the first person that I met in this band. Yep. So when I look back and I do this podcast, like the people that I am bringing on, I bring on for a specific reason. And some of the guests that I've had, I don't know them and people bring them to me or I'll just reach out to them. But what I'm finding that's so magical to me, it's like I'm reconnecting with people.
Oh, yeah.
Along my path. And it's like, I think one of the blessings, I know one of the blessings for me is that, you know, Jazz, you have a good network, you know, and it's like, you know, some people. And it wasn't until like I kept having people reach out to me mm-hmm. to get in contact with people that I know until I started realizing, I'm like, well, hold up. You the plug, yeah. You know, like, wait a minute, like, use what, you know, yep. use what you know, and it's genuine, it's not, you know, I know you so I can use you for something, it's just that I have met some incredible people, and you happen to be Thank one you. Of those people Thank that you. I have met, that I've watched you, and I've seen some of the things that you've gone through, and we're gonna get into that later, but I wanna start this show off on a happy note, yep. on an inspirational note, and I want you to tell me, how did you celebrate Mother's Day?
Well, yesterday was Mother's Day. I spent it with DJ. I have a 15-year-old, so I always spend a lot of time with him, but I went with my mom. I spent time with my mom. I did go and visit Darnell's grave. I just haven't been since October, and I was like, you know what, just go. And I went. I spent some time there. It just gave me a sense of gratefulness mm-hmm. to go home to Dijon. Mm-hmm. So I just went, and I went and spent time with my mom, my sister, my nephews, and yeah. got it. Ate a bunch of strawberries.
Listen, I was about to say, what was on the menu? Because you know I'm an eater now. I'm a foodie, so what was on the menu?
My dad cooked, like, they stewed ribs. Like, oh, in this big stewed
ribs. Ribs.
And listen, we thought it was a roast at okay. first. But I was like, that's a rib bone over there. And that's a rib bone. So he stewed ribs, wow. rice, green beans, and then he had stewed chicken, baked chicken, cornbread, like
everything. Just like you were full. So good job, Pops. Yeah, you know, Pops right, did though. A good, it sounds he like did. He did a great spread. Oh,
yeah, he did. Good. He always does. He always does. He's been the best stepdad. I've had 2 dads. I tell anybody, I've had 2 dads. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed with that for a while. Oh,
good.
You always make sure we have a good everything.
That's good.
It was a
That's
good day.
Good. It sounds great.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Good. So, you know, we're here and you know the foundation behind the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast is really getting into what you consider to be your comeback story. You know, I always say that now is a dope time mm-hmm. for a comeback. And I feel that it is quite possible to come back from anything that you go through. And I typically don't do an in-depth preview with my guests, but just the parts that of your story that you told me, they were so heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily, this platform is not used to take someone's pain and publicize it, you know, for fame or for monetary value or anything like that. The cornerstone of this show is really to show people that, look, you see these people every day. They have a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just trying to get by. Some of them have learned how to overcome specific things. And sometimes it takes someone listening to or seeing someone that has actually gone through what they've gone through to know that, yes, I can make it through that as well. And so your story is a story that I haven't had on my podcast yet, and it pulled at my heartstrings so bad. It's like whenever we had our conversation, I was telling my producer that I had a dream about my son, and it was kind of like I was going through some of the things that you went through. And girl, I woke up like in tears. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you know, like you're how I guess, because I woke up and I'm like, where did this dream come from? Like, why did I have this dream? And it was on Mother's Day weekend. Like, why in the world did I dream this? Like, I woke up. I will never say that I know how you feel at all. But that I'm never going to forget that feeling. And I think maybe it was something that I needed to experience in order to be able to talk to you properly, because it just that for me, it just took me out. And so I had to talk to him. Like, I called frantically, like, with his dad, because he was with his dad. And I was like, I need to talk to him. Yeah. I got to talk to him, like, just put him on the phone. And it's like, his little sweet voice came. And it's like, okay, well, let me. It calmed me down. It's a calming feeling. But I just, you know, but what you've gone through is a whole nother matter. And so before you go into talking about what you've gone through, she brought me this book. Those of you who are looking on IG, you can see this book, and it's called Dee's Powerful Journey. And she's the author. I'm going to read the back cover of it. And it just states that Dee's Powerful Journey is a series of prayers and writings that I have been writing for over the last decade that have guided me along this journey called life. Life's challenges can make even the strongest person weak. I've been there, and I hear your cries. Maybe you don't know how to pray, or maybe you think your prayers are in vain, but please let me encourage you on your own personal journey with the same things that have encouraged me throughout losing my son, my father, brother, addiction, and so much more. Dee's Powerful Journey is a series describing how tragedy turns into triumph, and I find purpose and faith in the most horrific situation. And so when I was reading this, you're a mother, and Danya has been fighting for justice for her son for almost 4 years. Yeah. Her son, Darnell Powell, who was shot and killed in his sleep on September 29th, 2018 in Winter Haven, Florida. And this is a open case. It's an ongoing case, mm-hmm. and we're looking for justice for it. She's looking for justice for it. And so in the midst of your storm, in the midst of going through this, we were talking and you said that this journal was a way for you to just pour out your heart with different prayers that helped you along the way. And so I read through it, and there's two of them that I want to read.
Okay.
Okay. And so I think this is going to be the first one that I want to read. And it's one of the first ones that's in the book. For those of you who are afraid of hardbacks and covers and books, this is an easy read. And if you need inspiration or you need some motivation to help you pray, this is definitely a book that you want to start off with. Because, you know, we wake up sometimes and we just don't know what to say to God. And sometimes, you know, it's okay for you to just say thank you. Because thank you is powerful enough, right? Yep. But this puts some words, you know, to your prayer. And so this one, it says, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, wisdom to know the difference. And just that line from the Bible, that is something that I struggle with, because we feel like, hey, I'm going to give it to God, but here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to tug at it.
And it's like, if we just let him do what he needs to do, we'll be in good shape. So it says, thank you for today. For on this day, I make a declaration to change my life. I'm no longer afraid, because I know wholeheartedly that you are with me. I trust that in my times of loneliness and despair, that I'm not alone. Even if I'm the only one standing, I'm not alone. Please forgive me of all my sins and transgressions, especially the ones that I don't know or that I'm unaware that I'm committing. Mm-hmm. That one right there.
Yeah.
Yes. Please allow me to trust that I am forgiven, blessed, and no longer held accountable for them. Please don't allow them to be a cloud over my head or a damper on my heart, for I am perfectly made in your image. I'm far from perfect, Lord, but you are in every way, and I know that you will prepare and perfect me to reign with you in heaven. Please accept my prayer, praises, and worship, especially me, Lord. These and all things I ask in your mighty name. Amen. So these powerful prayers are prayers. You told me, you said, Jazz, I'm going to let you tell the story, because I feel like I'm just talking the whole time. Notebook, she's like, I have enough prayers to last me like forever and ever and ever. And this is one thing that I kind of struggle with, because, girl, like when I'm praying, Sometimes I'm like ADHD. I'm praying, then I'm falling asleep. I'm like, oh Lord, or I'm praying, and then in my head I'm doing a to-do list, or I'm just like, so sometimes I need that focus, because then sometimes I'll end it with, God, you know my heart. You know what I'm trying to say. You know that. You know my heart. Just let me help me find the words to say, right? And so that one was the one for me. Like, I have three more that I pinned the page on it, but I'm going to end it on that one because I know my audience wants to hear from you. Yeah. They're like, Jazz, you've been talking this whole time, but look, she's here.
Because it gives you, it's a reflection, to be honest, because to be honest, I started writing in this book. Like, I'm surprised it's still together. Like, that prayer you read, I wrote in 2015.
Wow.
And it's like, as I write in my book, I thank God. God gave me that gift. That's one of my talents. I can't write, but it's the communication. Mm-hmm. It's like my mind, I'll go to church, we'll pray. God's forgiving you. You go home, and then you beat yourself up to death. Like, I'm like, Lord, I need you to help me accept that. Because that's hard, even as a parent, even with raising my kids.
Yeah.
That was a big thing, because I know me. I tell you, I don't need no help getting in trouble.
Right.
I promise I'm like my worst own, you know, and I have been, and that's a level of maturity that you can come to as you grow. You know, and I thank God for that. Like, as I look back, when I rewrote those prayers to get them typed up, I looked at it from then to now, and it just shows so much growth, but it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like, the purpose of, like, we're losing D was with a friend. And then the next thing I know, I talked with him Friday. Mom, can you meet me? And okay. And then Saturday, I'm at the nail shop, and my mom's like, the police are here. I was like, Mom, she said they left a phone number. They say you're not in trouble, just call. I'm like, Mama, that's a setup. Like, I literally, for about 10 minutes, like, went back and forth with her over the phone, but... I say, wait a minute, you said they left a phone number? I said, that's something they don't do. Right. You know, and when I called and I'm speaking with the officer, we just need to see you. You're not in trouble. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just meet them at my mom's house. And I literally was riding down the road, and I just got chills over me. And I told her, I say, I have a 21-year-old son that doesn't live at home. I said, is there anything wrong with my son? And she said, ma'am, we just need to see you. I said, now you've scared me because you didn't say no.
Right.
You know, so she met me at my mom's house, and that's when they told me Darnell was, he was over. They said I've lived in Winter Haven, but when they say Avenue V, I'm like, Avenue V?
Right.
Like, I've lived from T to Y. I miss that? But, you know, it was a familiar area, but he was there. Someone was shooting in that neighborhood at 4:30 in the morning. He got shot and killed in his sleep.
So it wasn't like a, because when I've heard the story, it wasn't like a I always pictured it in my brain that someone broke into where he was at and
they
were just shooting.
They were shooting there. And from what we've been told, it's a back entrance to the house, and they were literally shooting at one particular room in that house.
Wow.
You know, so it was crazy, and the police was like, "Well, do you know if you have any enemies?" I'm like, "Enemies?" You know, it wasn't making sense to me at the time what they were trying to tell me. But, you know, what we've later on found out was that no matter what the reason the shooting was, he wasn't the intended target. He doesn't live there. So it's people that he knows that were in some type of trouble. And then he lost his life.
Right.
You know, so that was, to me, a big deal. I'm like, we grew up here in Winter Haven. Like, we take care of each other here. You know, like, we do. I have 1,000 nieces. I only have one sister, like, from my mom. Like, those things, and you do that, and then it's like, well, what happened to D? And then we're stuck. And I'm fighting because in my mind, I have to fight to find out who did something to D. That's something you tell your kids when they grow up. I wouldn't let you hurt him if he was alive. Now he can't fight.
Right.
So that was my thing. And I'm fighting. I'm speaking. I'm looking. I'm working with the police. We was working with media. And then... I have friends every month after I lost Darnell. One of my friends was losing their kids. And it was just like, whoa. And they come to me like, Darn, you so strong. How do you do this? And I'm like, I'm like, Lord, this ain't what you took me through this for, is it? This not the association I want with my friends.
Right.
But, you know, it was like, Darn, it's the strength that they look for. It was like, they don't know where you got that from. losing Darnell was a big thing for me. It bothered my faith.
Yeah.
When I write these prayers, I pray God cover my babies, keep them safe, you know, and it's like, okay, I have to be at the end of the day when I rewrote these prayers to help people because they're looking to me for strength. And I'm like, I didn't get this strong when he died. God reminded me I was that strong when he died mm-hmm. because I've always covered him. So, you know, it was like you have to share that with people.
Right.
If they don't know to pray for their kids, show them. If they don't know that this is, at the end of the day, how you can have peace with whatever decision God has, you have to show them. You know, so that's, at the end of the day, what I ended up mm-hmm. doing, you know. And that was the purpose of it. Like, he was a great kid. He was a great kid. What happened, you know, it was very, mm-hmm. very, it was very sad. A friend of mine, you know, it's like if we're friends and I'm telling you I'm not going to let you get in trouble and I'm hanging out with you and then something happens to you.
Right.
You know, and then no one is saying what happened.
Right.
Not even his friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like that to me kind of gave me a bunch of issues with trust. Trust in God, trust in people. It was like, you know, you prayed. You asked God to take care of your kids. You took him to church. You told him about God. You did what you were supposed to do. And then he died. And it's like, well, what did I do wrong? Like, right. I went into such a place that nobody saw because they see me. Y'all just see me fighting for D. We going, you know, and I'm like, they don't know that, don't you? They only see the outside when you come outside.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how you can keep coming outside.
Was it when you were going through this, were you less trusting of people around you?
Oh yeah. That was one of my main things. Like, I didn't go anywhere. Like, why? Because I can't be at your house. I don't know if your son shot him. I don't know if your husband right. shot him. I don't know if you shot him. You know, so to actually be in the area with people that you really feel like you cannot trust,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard. So for a big part of that, I just stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not. Like, it's cheaper.
Yeah, but, yeah. Right.
You know, mentally.
Right.
You know, mentally, because that's where I had to get into a place to where I started protecting my mental state. Because it's just you go through certain things. The way I lost Darnell, I went through separation anxiety from DJ. So when you were saying about your son being away
mm-hmm.
and those things, and sometimes I know God takes us through things so we can kind of have a more, not even a respect, but a different perspective
mm-hmm.
of things. And I just hate to be in that place, but if I didn't accept that I was in that place, it was gonna run me crazy. So it was just like you got to roll with it.
Right, you do. And so I know you were questioning, you know, God, is this my purpose? Is this what you have for me to do? And before we get into that, because that is a result of what happened to mm-hmm. your son,
mm-hmm.
I want you to describe the child that Darnell was, because you said he was 21 years old, but describe the child that he was, and then talk to us about everything that you've started, how people can help with the case. Just take us through that.
Yeah. Well, Darnell, he was a good kid. Very, very, very smart. Very smart kid. He was smart. I can't say he loved school. He just did very well in school. But this is Darnell's obituary. On his obituary, I have pictures of him because this is the Darnell we all loved and remembered. He always smiled, happy. He have an attitude, but I tell him all the time, you'll be okay.
Because yeah.
I had an attitude. Sometimes you have to learn that, you know, we are, like I say, our biggest enemies. But this is Darnell. He was a very good kid. He loved his grandma. He loved his brother. He loved his mama, his auntie. Very loving, respectful, very, very smart. Very smart. This is his obituary. When he turned 22 after he's forever 21, but he would have been 22 June 22nd. So we had a birthday party and I made a lot of poster boards with his pictures and stuff and his obituary, and we put them out so that, you know, we could recognize him. Like, we all miss him. You know, we all miss him bad. And then here is, we did a, in the Martin Luther King Parade this year, because in my mind, what better place to go and ask people to help you get justice for your son, because everyone wants to go get the candy. Right. What's the real reason that we're actually here? You know, it's the justice and the equality.
You want me to hold it up for you?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, recently, which I was blessed, we hit his reward. Started out with $2,000. Then we got it up to $5,000. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can just start a fund and maybe get people to help me raise it. And the Attorney General reached out to me.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a blessing. I mean, I put that GoFundMe up like Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. They called me.
Wow.
And he was like, they told me we have great news. They increased mm-hmm. his reward. So it went from the $5,000 to the $9,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sad. I tell them from the beginning, it's sad. You shouldn't have to pay people to talk, but it right. motivates people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like that's what it is. So,
did anybody, just going back to it, because when I look at the pictures, I'm like, first of all, he's so handsome.
Yeah,
and then he looks like you. You know, like it's a good thing. Like, I think I love it when like boys look like their moms. So he looks like you, you know, he just, I know we were talking and, you know, we have hopes for our kids. We have expectations, like things that we want to see them grow into and into being happy.
Yeah.
And so when you think back on Darnell's purpose, what do you think, you know, because you are, you know, spiritually grounded, you know, you have that faith. And I just think as a mother, I've never experienced the loss of a child, but however abrupt it is, you know, my pastor at my church was just talking this past Sunday, and we have a church member who's 100 mm-hmm. and she lost her daughter. And he said that, you know, when she came up to him, she said, you know, pastor, like my baby's gone.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, going off of this Mother's Day, you know, Sunday, he's like, no matter how old you are, no matter how old your children are, you still see them as your baby.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was reflecting on that, like the whole service. And I'm thinking, you know, heaven forbid. And, you know, you made a point to say that we're on borrowed time.
Oh, yeah.
And so the time that God gives us to have our kids is borrowed time mm-hmm. because we're his, our kids are his. And so he just wants some of them back before we're ready to give them back.
You know, with that, I look at it, Darnell, he knew God. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much kids be, you know, they be kids, but he knew God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I tell God, just like this, I talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you're going to have to take my baby to get my attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like at the end of the day, it's the only thing that's making sense to me. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just different things that I've been able to feel, I've been able to do. And I feel like God gave me 21 years with Darnell. He allowed me to raise Darnell to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't take my little baby. He took my man. And I know he knew God.
Yeah,
you know, it's hurtful. I had to come to terms that, don't you pray, writing these prayers to help these women, it helped remind you that you ask God to keep him safe. Your baby mm-hmm. will sleep. He doesn't even know he was shot.
Right.
God transitioned right. him so peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me so many things around it. It's like, don't you, I took you through that because you're strong enough. You forgot. You stopped praying to me. You stopped believing because you were mad. And it's okay that you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
When I told God I was mad and I talked with God, then he could heal my heart.
Right.
And in the process of that, I started writing these prayers to help other people, but it helped me remember.
Yeah.
You know, it helped me remember, don't you? You ask God to mm-hmm. keep them safe. Look at all the things God bless you to do with him.
Absolutely.
You know, it was like sometimes you have to stop being selfish because right now everybody around you needs something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feel compelled to help them in another way. You know, like I can't make it better for y'all, but let me just hold on. Let me stop because I hear y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get with God and ask God, because God, you took me here. It's got to be a reason.
Right.
You know, so which direction do I go? And I don't know what to tell people. I can write 1,000 books, but I cannot write a speech to tell you. You know, I just thank God that every day, though, it keeps me in a better place.
Right, right, right.
Better place. I've been like, that ain't
so bad. People know that
of
you, and that's the part that I knew. But it goes deeper than that, and I'm only bringing these pieces up because of that person that I know that's out there that has given up on God and who has given up, just on life, like living life, like, you know, to its full, to their full potential and all that it could be. But you've suffered and gone through other trials and tribulations too. So take us through the full snapshot of your comeback story.
Well, a lot of, aside from Darnell,
right?
Because that, to me, I think that's just the newer things that mm-hmm. people see, you know. But even with my dad, mm-hmm. my real dad, my biological dad, he suffered a lot from mental illness. A lot of it was him being a disabled veteran, and they grow up. But my dad, he wanted to live like he didn't want us to worry. He wants to be like most parents. I'm in my house. You let us be that way. And I did for a long mm-hmm. time. And then it was just the point that, no, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
You know, and my dad, we found my dad in his apartment. I got a call from his neighbor. Darnie, when did you talk to dad? And I said, Sunday. And I stopped. And I was like, why? He said, I hate to tell you this, but it's flies everywhere and it smells bad. Mm-hmm. So, dad, we found my dad in that apartment, me and my sister and I. And it was really, really strange. But the craziest thing is, Mother's Day was the last day I talked with my dad.
Oh, wow.
The very last message in my dad's phone to each one of his daughters is, Happy Mother's Day. Mm. You know, so it was a lot of different things, even with my oldest brother committing suicide. It was just like, look, darn you, God, walking you through these paths. You never knew 11 years ago, you know, your brother committed suicide and they're telling you you can't do these things. And then you're hearing these mm-hmm. situations with your dad. Like, you think about it, like, you had to walk through that. When I have a friend, I have friends who have kids that have committed suicide. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Everybody going to be mad, but you got to be that friend to help them mm-hmm. because you know what grief going to take them.
Right.
Because you've been a person who's experienced that, you know, because I don't care what anyone says. We're friends. If you was to kill yourself tomorrow, I'm going to still feel as a friend that I could have done more in your life.
Yeah. And it's natural. Know? That's a natural process that we go through.
Yeah. So going through that in different areas, it's like I went through a lot of that. My first lupus flare-up, strange, I got pregnant with Dijon. Mm-hmm. My kids were, Darnell would have been 25 next month. Dijon is 15. They told me I had lupus. Mm-hmm. I went for 9 years without having a lupus flare-up. In my mind, I'm like, they just saying this. My first lupus flare, I was taking my mom. We were going to all go eat lunch for mama's birthday. And I'm driving down the road, and I was having a heart attack.
Wow.
And I told mama, I'm like, mama, because I'm nursing. You better pay attention to the signs. Right. I'm like, mom, I know my chest. I know these different things, the sweats. But it's when I couldn't feel my arm. Mm-hmm. And she said, just drive into the hospital. I said, I'll die before they see me at Winter Haven. And I went to my doctor's office. And when I went in, they took me. My heart rate was 252. I was having a heart attack.
Wow. Okay.
My first lupus mm-hmm. flare. Mm-hmm. You know, and so from that, I had to get on the steroid regimen because the steroids keep the lupus flares down. But the catch 22 is it stops the blood flow to your bones. Mm-hmm. So my left and my right hip, I ended up losing my left hip totally. I've had it replaced. Now I'm waiting to get the right one replaced. You know, and that's just different experiences with lupus, the heart attacks, the TIA. You know, just the four sinus surgeries, the head surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, losing Darnell, going through this with my dad, my brother. It was like, Darnell, you walked through this. That's what they see the strength in, how you made it through all of this before losing Darnell. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't just happen. It just didn't happen overnight.
Right. So I know anybody who's listening to this, it's like you've gone through attack after attack after attack, obstacle after obstacle. And someone listening to this, myself included, Danya, I'm like, what makes you keep going? Like, what takes you? How do you get to that place of all of this has happened to me, yet and still I'm going to help the next person get through grief. I'm going to help the next person who's suffering from lupus. I'm going to help the next person who, you know, you do things in the community. Like, you were talking to me about giving back with sponsoring hairdos school. So how on earth, like, honestly, like, how on earth are you not bitter? Are you not depressed? Are you not suicidal? Like, how is it? What has kept you together? Where do you go? I see the products here. You get it out. you know, through writing, which is something that I always, that's my way mm-hmm. of getting things out. But you have been through a lot.
It's gotta be Dijon. I think my biggest thing is I couldn't allow Dijon to lose me with losing D. Mm-hmm. I really feel that God wants me to get, I feel that I gave Darnell a better version of me because I was young, I was a single mom. Everything about my life I had to do for him. Mm-hmm. Dijon, it was a little different. I'm married, you know, I had help.
Yeah.
And the focus that, the Darnia that I gave Darnell, I wasn't giving Dijon. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel that I cannot do that to Dijon because God still gave me a job because right. he took Darnell back. Okay, Darnell's a man. You got Dijon. You can't do that. Like, right. you cannot. I mean, I've been the person that's like, I'm not going to pray. But then my son go to school and I'm like, Lord, keep him safe. Mm-hmm. Because I know at the end of the day, that's just my thing. Dijon was a lot of it in my mom. When they told me Darnell had died and I was at my mom's house, I called my mom and it was just, she came in and she was so calm at first. And I'm like, Mom, they say, okay. And she's like, okay. Mm-hmm. First thing she said was, let me call my pastor. Mm-hmm. So Mama went and called pastor. But when I tell you, Jazz, the scream that I heard from my mom, that's when it got real. And it was like, Darnia, if you break down, your family gonna break down. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know how to be strong for you because you pull a lot of stuff for your family. And that's no problem. You do that because you, that's the responsibility you have taken over them. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that. I feel that a lot of me being strong and me keep going, it helps my mom. And I see how it helps in my family. Mm-hmm. I've been in bed for 3 weeks. DJ, he won't know because he'll get up and go to school. He'll cook breakfast every morning. Yeah. And then when he stopped cooking breakfast, I stopped eating. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So it was like I felt myself slipping into that point to where like, you're not saying you're suicidal, but you don't care if you eat.
Right, right.
You don't care. You don't have a taste for nothing. Probably ain't had a taste for nothing, and you know, but you know you have to do.
Right.
So, and another thing was I know the stress will cause the lupus. And I'm not going to, lupus won't kill me.
Right.
I promise, I made myself that promise, lupus won't kill me. Mm-hmm. Like, I really feel like God is teaching me that. I don't know why, maybe I'm going to find this cure, but it won't kill me.
Right.
So I know at the end of the day, if I can't give in to that, mm-hmm. letting that stress, because it'll do it.
Sis, the fact that you just were adamant, and it sounds to me like your headspace is so strong that it's like, I'm not going to let these things affect me.
Yeah, I can't.
You're going to go through the emotions that one of them causes you to go through.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm listening to you. And even when I was listening to you, when you were talking to me on the phone about this, it's like, I just saw like a tunnel vision. It's like, you know, you're going to press forward through this because I feel like you do feel like there is a mission or a purpose that has been placed on you from God. Oh, yeah. I feel like every conversation that we have, that's what I hear from you. And I don't hear where you get tired or weary. I know that you do. Like, it is, and so it would be crazy of me to.
When I wasn't doing it because it wasn't purposeful to me.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, like, I'm sitting up at 5 o'clock in the morning with my friend looking at the phone like, why is this my friend? Let me reevaluate the situation. What criteria do they meet to not be my friend no more just to have a reason?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like you do that, or when you got to mm-hmm. go speak or you got to go ask the community to help you, you're angry. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Like, I've been that person. My pastor Clear, like, we talked one night, Jazz. He said, why didn't you tell us about the press conference? You know, my church family supports us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I said, well, Pastor Dollison, that's something that God want me to, you know, I don't bother people. Mm-hmm. And I mean that. When you read this prayer, and it's like, if I'm standing by myself, baby, I done been there by myself.
Right, right.
You know, I feel like that, standing in my community asking for help. Mm-hmm. Like, I walk off of that, that's the girl who sung it. Okay, but can you help me find out who did?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm good with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say, Pastor, I just don't bother people. He say, you know, Darnia, that's not true. He said, when you gave Darnell back to God, God wanted you to give all of him back to God. Mm-hmm. He said, God would not want you to do such a big task by yourself. And I'm sitting there, and it hit me in my mind, like, that's what you're doing. Just like you said earlier, we'll say I'm going to pray and trust God, but you pick at it.
Yeah.
You pick at it. Because I'm going to stand here and fight this. But it's like, that's not what I want you to do. I don't need you to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them the resources. We're going to work that out. I need you to go and help other people.
Right.
So that can help you and we can get through this.
Yeah.
I don't need you to do that. If you're going to trust me, trust me. I'm going to give you justice for him. And I'm going to heal your heart. Same way I done healed your body. You ain't. Listen. I'm 42 with a new hip. You know how much life I got on this hill?
Listen, look.
I can't spend 1 year worrying.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, as long as you do that, and that's the one thing that I see he has kept his promise, because I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not stressful. And I'm not stressed out. That's and I'm not sad. You know, so.
That's a blessing, and it's almost like it's a an unbelievable blessing.
Oh, yeah.
But that, I think that just, I think when people look at you, they have to see the power of God. Because I'll say that I don't see or that I know that I can do it. But you can do all things through Christ. You know, you can do all things. And like when we reconnected, like I didn't know all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that you had gone through all of that.
Yeah.
It's like you were still a ray of sunshine. Like I had like,
girl,
let's
go bowling.
Right. Let's go bowling. Like, we're planning bowling trips. Let's get the kids together. Let's go bowling. Look, he wants to go bowling. Yeah. Like, let's go. You know, like let's go bowling.
I'm
you know,
bowling
let's
with one
yeah,
hand.
Like
let's go have fun because my kids. Like, I can't let go.
Lupus didn't know about lupus. Didn't know about the deaths in your family.
Nope.
I didn't know about any of that. It was just. I'm connecting with Danya, and I find that amazing, and I just find that you are like just a walking, living, breathing testament and testimony, like some people are, and you know, you sharing this story on my podcast, I hope it helps someone, and I hope they were able to I hope they are able to grab onto how you make it through that. Like, did you go to counseling? It was just like your church family, like what you.
It was for us. My biggest thing was get DJ counseling.
But did you appreciate it though?
Listen, like, I love it.
Okay,
when I tell you, I went through a 5-year product of everything from not going.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, just counseling was good because people think counseling is directly defining grief. It's not. Some days I would go on counseling and be like, you know what, my sister been mad at me since yesterday. That just the whole point. It teaches you it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you, you know, it's okay to have them feelings. Let's talk about it and move past it.
Right.
You know, so that was one thing. And I think if I didn't have the counseling with Darnell, it would have been harder when I lost my dad.
Yeah.
It would have been harder when I lost my dad. So it was like, go do it. I recommend it.
Yeah.
The kids, go get them kids some counseling. You know, we say, oh, I'm all right. I have friends tell me that I don't need it. I'm all right. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not okay.
So listen, thank you for being a proponent of that. Like, thank you for being real with that, because I think a lot of people, I look at some people and I'm like, you're just walking around with hurt.
Yeah,
and like
angry.
How they say, like, hurt people.
Just angry.
It's like, baby, you are so hurt.
Girl, I used to be like that. People look at me not like, oh, she gone. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
My son's like, mom, okay, just clean it up and go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes so much time to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, why not just find out why I'm that way? Let's deal with it. And then let's just enjoy life, because it's not supposed to be miserable. And on top of everything I went through, I can still tell you, Jess, I didn't have no hard life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got my hip replaced. You know what? I had the best surgeon, heel time, good, ready, on the go.
Yeah.
You know, I had a head surgery. They cut from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
why'd you have to have that?
Because the lupus had caused me to have a disease. The disease spread it across the right side of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So they took the tissue from behind my hairline to reconstruct my right sinus cavity.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I mean, I come out of surgery and I'm like beat up. And I only thing I remember is telling Dijon, and Darnell actually took me to get my head to do my pre-op. Mm-hmm. He took me to do everything. This happened. I had the head surgery and then he was gone.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a big thing, but it's like, it's nothing to make me just lay down on it. You know, it's like everything, but they did that. That's still healing. Because I have an autoimmune disease, my body is not accepting the tissue, even though it's from my body. It's not accepting it.
Wow.
It's like now it's just a weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait, the next procedure there. But I'm like, look, I know I'm y'all experiment, but I trust my ENT doctor, because I'm like, nobody never tried to fix it about my hip.
Mm-hmm.
He say, just fix it. You're going to have this pain until we fix it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's scary. It's a process. I stay prayed up.
Listen.
Every time I go in that surgery, my mama, I'm telling you, she's going to sit right on the side of me and we're going to wake up. And it's, you know, I have done it. We've been through this, I promise you, about five times.
So in listening to this, and I see, you know, different things that you're working on and different projects that you're working on, do you see the different projects that you're working on as just other entities? I would even say like this podcast. Like, I reached out to you with the podcast. I see that you, you know, you have books, you have, you know, other things in the making. Tell me some things that that you're able to do that just bring a light to you.
That's how I started with the school. A big thing for me, a lot of people, I don't know, I know a lot of mothers struggle with, to me, Easter was a bit, was a hard, Easter was probably harder than Mother's Day. Because when Darnell got a certain age, he want to go over here. You know, we got stepmamas, other grandmas. But Easter was a very, very, very big holiday for us. Darnell literally walked to Lake Wales because I didn't make him an Easter basket. And he was 17 years old. So, you know, he held on to that for a long time. Easter was a really big thing for me. So school came around and I was like, you know what? I'm just make a post that I plant two girls, do two girls hair for school, get hair and everything. And it went from doing two girls to three girls to four girls to buying the hair to getting book bags to getting school supplies. I'm stocking up on bottoms now. It's like, you know, because, and that was what made me go with Justice Period. Just push it. Because losing D, you still miss doing those things. You know, Dijon is getting big now. You can't go in there and dress him up for Easter. But why not help make somebody else happy through doing it?
Does he like to do that with you?
Yeah, he does. Okay. He does that. He was excited about the parade, but he's a basketball, seven days a week, diehard basketball. But to me, that kind of still, it feels a void from what I was doing. So it was like, okay. And not just that, helping with a suicide awareness event, that meant a lot to me, you know, and it's like, darn, you doing these things from your heart. Why not just do this and let's just try to do it to help more people because it feels good just with the couple people you can help.
Right.
You know, so it was, that gives me a lot of doing that. And I'm trying to plan something this year for back to school. I'm like, maybe I can go bigger, get a couple more people to braid some hair too.
Yeah.
Braids last.
Listen, you know, they're listening, so I hope they do. I hope they do.
Need some haircuts.
Listen, yes.
Mr. Thomas, I'm so proud to see you, Mr. Thomas.
Greg, look, Greg, she's called you out. I'm going to say his first name, Greg. Because Greg was on episode 16.
Yes, he was
on the singles couple.
You know, I wasn't allowed to watch that. I don't know why.
Really?
I'm married. I don't know why y'all did that to me. I'm married. I cannot watch this. I seen you, Jazz. Yeah. I shared it to all my single friends. This man is a good guy. He cut hair. He take care of the kids. You know, but
that's amazing. Yeah, but so look, Greg, and anything that you need me to help you with, I'm there. Just say the word.
I will.
All
thank
you have
you.
To do, because I want to continue. I feel like, you know, I definitely know that it's not a burden to you.
Yeah.
I know that it has been laid on your heart to do these things. I know that, you know, you eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it. And I know that people who carry this that you carry, and I don't want to call it a weight because I don't see that you describe it as a weight.
No, it is not a weight.
And I honestly, even me sitting on this couch with you, I'm still looking at you like, girl, how in the world? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do it? Like, how, just how? So I know how you do it. You know, you've described how you do it. I want to evoke something in a listener that would help you. Like, I want to have measures that will keep a smile on your face. Like, I see you, you know, you have a new book project that you collaborated with a group of women with. So I see you doing that.
Yep.
And I know you guys are going to do amazing things with that. And I want you to embrace the opportunities that come your way. Because for number one, you're very smart. Yeah. You know, when we talk, you're very smart. You know things that you want to do that resonate with your heart and that resonate with the purpose of your son's legacy. So I know you're going to be able to sift through things that are not meant for you in the capacity that you want it to be meant for. But I know that people who are giving, they deserve so much.
Yeah.
And I see you as a giving person. And I just really hope that this podcast reaches someone who can pour back into you and who can pour back into the things that you want to do for the community. Because I've never once heard you say, oh, I wrote this book. I want you to buy this book, you know, so that.
Girl, I'm trying to get a goal to give them away for free.
Right. So that.
Honest, I want to do them every month. I told you, Jazz, I got enough prayers wrote down to put a book out every month for the rest of the year. And I want people to read them.
So D's Powerful Journey, how can they get them?
I have them personally. They can contact me through. I am on social media. I have a lot of information at Donya Parker Barber, but they're on Amazon too.
Amazon as well.
Mm-hmm. They're on Amazon.
And you self published this too.
Yeah, I sure did.
So a gold digger, G-O-A-L, gold digger.
I was like, girl, you just published.
Like you just published this book, and it's, you know, I look at people who do this because you're one of the many authors that I've had on this podcast. It's like, you know, people aren't just sitting around like you're doing, and you're moving, and you're shaking, and you're doing something to carry on your son's legacy.
Because I feel like that's the right thing. You know, when I leave, I would want them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I just, you know, when you were saying about your member that was 100, anytime you lose a child, you know, in our mind, it's not supposed to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
So battling lupus, I thought I would go before my babies any day. I wrote a lot of this stuff. I wrote in a baby book so they could remember.
So they can remember.
Never knowing those were my memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I discovered that when I lost Darnell. So it was just like the things that I went through. It's like, God didn't take you out. That's not going to do that.
Right.
Don't choose the things that's going to take you away from him.
Right.
You know.
Because you have a whole lot of life to live.
Girl, I'm telling you, I'm still
a whole lot of life to live.
Girl, I tell him, my son was 21 when he got killed. I'm 42. I've lived two of his lives.
Mm-hmm.
Two of his lives. My son was healthy. He didn't have health issues. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, I was talking to a friend of mine today. I'm like, well, what age is old? You know, with some people way older than me that have never had to have any of the procedures or the problems that I had. So it's like, I've been old.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right now, it's time to walk in this new.
Absolutely.
Can't do it.
Because, girl, you are here for a purpose and you know it. Is there anything else that you want to tell the audience before we wrap up? How can we support you? Where can we find you? Your social handles?
Well, I mean, listen. I didn't even know I was on Instagram because I'm like,
because I kept tagging you. I'm like, yeah, oh, she's like, on Instagram.
Yeah, Jazz, let me know this. Like, and I'm like, because I try to monitor them, but don't know how to monitor them. I got somebody that monitors TikTok. I monitor Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we watch the kids. Right,
so you just,
I don't
really
know.
Look, you said that's how we watch the kids. So you got an old spy account.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm telling you, I have to watch the 15-year-old. If he posts something that's sad, tell me. Because I need to know he need a hug. You know, like, I'm watching the baby.
Right. You say he need a hug.
But I am social media, just Facebook. Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I am on Instagram. Donya Parker Barber on Facebook. I do have an author's page on Amazon. I have an author's page on Amazon. It has a little bio about me, but you can also purchase my books on Amazon. You can inbox me through Facebook. I have a page on Facebook called D's Powerful Journey. You can reach me through there. Any questions, any concerns. I will give y'all my phone number, but I might change it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I've had a number for about 20 years, but I am somebody that y'all can reach out to, you know. Any questions? If you're going through a situation or just need some encouragement, because it's days when I might call my friends and they don't know how much just listening to them made me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. Sometimes people just need somebody to talk to.
Yes. So I'm going to tell you this. I titled, when I do a podcast, I love music.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved music. That's my coping mechanism. Music is my go-to. It's a love language for me. And so what I'm finding is that every episode that I do, I equate the person to a particular song. And so the song that I related this podcast to you is my favorite Mary J. Blige song, My Life.
Oh,
and
wow.
So yeah, I was that. Like, I listened to the, you know, I already know the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's not like I have to listen to the lyrics. Yep. But that's why I titled the story. That's why I titled this podcast, My Life. And so so go back and listen to it.
Yep.
Every time you hear it, just know that's a song that I have now equated to remember this podcast with. It's my favorite Mary J. Blige song.
Yep.
And so thank you much for
being my
guest for episode 28. I appreciate you.
No problem.
I have so much love for you.
Thank you.
Full circle moment.
Yeah.
Listen, like I knew no one. I'm telling you, I knew no one other than my cousin. You gotta show it to me.
Yeah, you know you have to print the film out. I got pictures.
You gotta print the film out.
I got the
disposable camera.
I have a shoebox full of pictures from all the...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have a shoebox full of disposable cameras, first of all. Yes, just do that, because I'll do the same thing. Listen, oh, my gosh.
You know what? You went there, but I got to tell this quick memory before I go, because this was probably the funniest thing I remember about failure.
Oh, Lord.
We was up there in that parade, and, you know, we all was scrunched up with them waves. Everybody had that color on them waves. And Mr. Earl always made us perform, and I don't know why we didn't remember that every time you go to FAMU for their homecoming, it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
So we was marching in the parade with these long purple skirts on and these vests with the white turtlenecks and all of
Ain't nobody tell you to be a flag.
All of the color in all of our hair on our clothes. I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this.
I'm not doing it.
So the rest of the pictures we have is, that's why I got the ponytail.
Oh, okay.
Back there with the glasses.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to send them to you.
Please
tonight.
Do. Please do. Look, that's funny. Those back in the day photos, we gotta do it. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Miss Donya Parker. Thank you so much, Miss Parker Barber. I appreciate you. Everyone, you know, follow her journey. Support her with her books, support her with anything that you see that she's flashing across social media. You know, she wants to do something for our kids for back to school. You know, back to school will be here very soon. I know we're waiting to get out for the summer, but back to school comes just like that. So if you want to reach out to her, do that. You can inbox me and all of that good stuff. And so I thank you so much for tuning in to episode 28, My Life. This has been a phenomenal episode. This has been a heart-wrenching episode, but it also is an episode full of encouragement. And I encourage you to keep going. I encourage you to follow what Donya stated. You know, hold on to your faith. Get counseling if you need it. You know, there's always someone there for you. Find your a support group, and definitely hone into your family and your friends. And so thank you for tuning in to episode 28 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. You can find me, follow me, subscribe, like, engage, leave me a review on all of my socials, on Facebook, IG, on Twitter, also on YouTube at Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. Don't forget, now is a dope time for a comeback.